So, but what's the one thing that you could say that would most illustrate the fact that you just exist?
I am.
Right. Thank you. Good. Thank you.
There's the dog.
Thank you. I am. In German, it would be Ich bin.
What would it be in Dutch then?
Bin. I think it's B I N. Ich. Bin.
That's
Dutch. In French, it would be. Huh? Anybody know? Je suis. Je suis. There's a famous, if you take any philosophy courses in college, and if you take any college courses, you have to take some beginning philosophy courses. And one of the most famous philosophers is a guy by the name of Paul Say, I think. No, I don't know. But anyway, he made this famous statement. Je pense. P-E-N-S-E. It is French. Je pense, je suis. I think. Therefore, I am. So the fact that you're able to think is the most positive conscious proof of your existence. Now that's his opinion. I mean, that's his thought, and Allah. Since that was formulated and written down, and every little poor little college student that had to go to college, read philosophers, had to quote that, and he had to write about it. So it's been, that thought has gone around the world through many minds, and many people have considered it.
Good morning, Adam. Where are we going today?
Yeah, let's go. I want to just say a few words to you this morning. Now, let me say one of the most surprising things about you and about myself is the thing that is most wonderful about you, you take for granted. Let me say that again. Most people will go about three quarters of the way through their lives before they finally wake up to the fact that they're living, and that they have power to change their lives, that they can actually live the way they want to live. They live their lives out of programmed conditioning from their parents, from their culture, from their religion. They don't even know they're really alive. They don't really know they're on autopilot. They don't even know there was a program induced by society, induced by genetics, induced by everything around them, and that's programming their lives from them, and they're victim to it, and they don't even know it!
Hello, are you with me on that thought?
Yeah.
You see that? Some of us are waking up. Some of us a little later in life, some a little earlier. And finally, you say, hey, well, I don't like living like this. After the third time, you bought a Ford, and the ancient duopoly, finally you realize you don't have to buy a Ford next time. What a Ford.
Even though your dad bought a Ford,
your grandfather owned Ford Motor Company, whatever, right? No, you don't have to buy a Ford.
Well, I'm obviously picking a very mundane example. You can pick your own out of your life, right?
You just pick your own life. Finally, you begin to discover that you're not the victim of your genetics, your circumstances, your society, your religion, anything. That you are truly, truly free to think and to live. And fear begins to break off of you. And you begin to shake and rattle and roll, and people get hurt around you because they're so accustomed to the modalities that you've lived in and integrated them into their life, so that when you break out of your little shell, well, their worlds are upset too. And you draw back, you came, oh, I don't want to cause any pain. And then it finally dawns on you that there is no progress without pain. There's no There's no change without pain. There's no living without
dying.
Making change. There's no living without dying.
Yeah.
How well said.
Yeah.
How well said. What is it? What's the song? Like the rose?
Trampled.
Huh? No, not that one. Not the one trampled. The rose. That comes up out of the ground.
Hold on.
See, the
little lily. And in the winter.
They're not willing to die. So beautifully said. So powerfully said. And the soul
afraid
of dying.
Never learns to live.
Never learns to live. What's dying what? Dying of letting go out of a comfortable situation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's the journey of our lives. Okay. So, but all that I said so far, you can all relate to because it has to do with natural circumstances of living. And it has to be with three-dimensional consciousness. It has to do with physical life lived in a physical body by a mind. And that's where most of our thinking all the time is at. As much as I appreciate the CD called The Secret, and I appreciate it, I don't know if you heard it, it was on Oprah Winfrey just a couple of days ago, and the author of it was on her show, if I'm correct. And Oprah said, well, I didn't know it was a secret that you draw into your space what you desire, the law of attraction. She didn't know it was a secret. Hey, that's how I've lived all my life, she said, but I didn't hear it. And as much as I like that, CD, you should listen to it. It'll change your life. It'll give you language to think and to say what you probably already know and have already experienced. But it's all about three-dimensional consciousness and three-dimensional life. And that's what most of your life consists of. All of your thoughts are primarily concerned about what you're going to do tomorrow and what you did yesterday and how you can live today. Right? It has to do with the expression of your being in this three-dimensional world in a body. Now, what is it that helps you to get delivered from that? Well, one is religion or spirituality. Spirituality will take you to a higher plane of thought. It has nothing to do with how you eat, how you drink, how you live, who you go to bed with, what car you drive. None of that. Spirituality has to do with consciousness beyond physical planes. So most of us like to sit. We like to hear a song that will take us away. We like to listen to an author like, what's her name? Deja. Yeah. We like to hear authors and musicians that can take us away, that can help us to worship and help us to feel emotionally greater reality, even though we can't really put it in words. We know that there's more than our life. We know there's more than physical existence, more than the planet, more than the stars. There's something more than that, and we want to go there, and worship takes us there. And almost everybody, in some way, even people that call themselves agnostics, don't believe in God, they have a way to worship. I promise you they do. They wouldn't call it that, but they do. So we want to go from the imprisonment, what I call three-dimensional consciousness, from the imprisonments of thoughts that limit you to a mind and a body, to something more. And there's little edges of that beginning in our lives. That happening in you. I can see it. I can feel it happening in you. And I want to encourage you. I want to help it. And that's what we're about. I want to make a little definition here. There are at least two ways to look at your life. One way is from right in the middle of it. You're in it. You're trying to understand it from the point of view of the experience of it. You're trying to make sense. You found out that if you don't pay your credit card bill on time, it comes back next week at 30% interest.
Yeah. It's the wake-up call.
It's pain, and you learn to do something about it. You learn to sort of discipline your action and govern your life. But it's living your life from the experience of it right in the middle of it. And most people are so wrecked. Whether they're learning the secret of drawing things into their space, or they're still discovering that if you don't pay your electric bill, someone's going to shut your electric off. It's all about the same. Some of it's a little more negative, some of it's more positive, but it's all about living life from the point of view of its experience. Now, there are many degrees of that, some better, some worse. I don't say that it's all the same. It's not. It's a whole lot better to practice the secret and to draw good things into your space than it is trying to pay your bills all the time and not making it. It's a lot better. But it's pretty much the same, nevertheless. The one sort of negative, the other sort of positive, but it's still living life from the limited perception of human consciousness. 3D. Hello? Sorry, most of our spirituality has to do with improving our lives. Buying a better car, getting a better wife, or whatever, right? It's three-dimensionally oriented. And I think that's good. I'm glad it's that way. I want it that way. I'm not complaining about it, but I want to point you to something greater. Your existence, your ability to say, I am, I have existence, is the greatest gift you've got. It's a gift of deep proportions in you that you've had all your life and never really acknowledged. Because you haven't been able to acknowledge it. And don't feel bad. I'm wanting to break into this myself. I want to do what I'm talking to you about, or I wouldn't be talking to you about it. I'm not interested in just instructing and telling people good things. I want to live myself. I want to talk about things that are rich and deep and wonderful in me that I'm awakening to, so that we can awaken together. So I can stimulate you to take the next step of your evolution, your becoming. Right?
Yes.
Go.
Go for it.
So, existence itself, the thing that you don't know you have, that you take for granted, is your greatest treasure. Because there was a time beyond time.
Well, how do you conceive of that thought? I don't know.
There was a time before there was time. The only way I can say it. When you didn't have the power to define your own consciousness. When you couldn't say the words, I am. There was a time when you didn't exist as you do now. Actually, it wasn't a time because it was before time. But to bring it into your three-dimensional mind and to put it in a place where you can think about it, that's the only way I can say it. There was a time before there was time when you, as you, did not exist. You have a beginning. Hello? And it wasn't when mom and dad conceived you. Now, I don't remember the exact moment when you were conceived. But I'll make you one loving promise about your conception. It was because there was love. There was love, and because of that love, somebody had to give themselves to somebody. And when they gave themselves, something new began to happen that had never been before, and that's you. That's physical. That's little Luke, right? Well, what is that? That's a picture. It's a way to look at life. Everybody understands it, right? And we warn all the young people about it. If you love, something like will happen. You don't want it to happen, but it's not time to happen, right? It's our society. Love has a beginning. Love creates a beginning. And guess what? Your beginning, not your physical experience, not your body, not your mind, not the way you think, not the need of a car or a wife or a woman or anything else, not that. Your existence beyond all that has a beginning.
Yes, hallelujah.
And it's the greatest, wonderful, most wonderful thing you possess and have. It's what helps you create your physical experience. It was helped you live in that body. It gave you that body in the first place. You existed before you had that body. You had an experience before you had this experience. And you need to know it. You need to know it. And there's no one out there that will tell you this. Very few. There's very little written about it. But I promise you, I will make you aware of it, that you have the most wonderful thing in the universe, beyond the universe, and that is, you have the power and the ability to say, I am, I exist. And you will go through a few experiences of pain, of loss, of suffering, of joy, of expectancy, of ecstaticness. You will go through quite a few experiences before you're brought face to face with the importance of your acknowledgement of your existence. Yeah. Well, how do I know that? Because that's what happened to me. Until that time, you'll be pretty much an autopilot, right? And you might live, I don't know about previous lives or afterlives, I don't know too much about all that, but if it's possible to live many lifetimes, if that's true, then I promise you, you can live a lot of lifetimes and never acknowledge your existence, because people have done it, at least if it's true. I read this book. This person couldn't heal something, so they went to this psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist began to regress them, and all at once, different persons began to speak out of this person. And they turned out to be different lifetimes. As he correctly described many situations in many epochs of time that have gone in many different countries, many different places. 80 lifetimes in all, they found. And at the end of those 80 lifetimes, she had all the pain of those 80 lifetimes and still didn't know who she was. And I never met anybody apparently that could explain that to her. Through all those 80 lifetimes. So, just because you get another 5, 10, 15 lifetimes, no guarantee you'll learn any more than what you learn in this one. So you might as well decide that whatever you're going to learn, you want to learn in this lifetime. Good decision to make. Don't you? And maybe you can discard the whole philosophy about other lifetimes. It really doesn't matter. Just the fact is, you only right now have one lifetime, and that's the one you're in. And in it, you can either have one of two choices. You can either acknowledge that you exist in it, and it's yours, or you can live it out of the paradigms of somebody else's mind and somebody else's thinking.
That's right.
So make your choice.
That's right.
Make your choice, all right? So acknowledge your existence. Acknowledge. And it is only possible to acknowledge your existence if you acknowledge that you have a beginning. And in that beginning, something happened to you that began you. Somebody loved. Somebody committed an act of love to procreate you. You're the result of love. The result of desire. Somebody, well, just look at natural life. Look at little Luke over there. If you don't believe what I'm saying, look at little Luke. How did he get here? What happened? Somebody wanted to love. Somebody wanted to know what it was really, really like to be really loved by somebody else. And when they did that, life came forth. That's you. You are the result of God loving himself. You are the result of God having a deep down desire he didn't understand himself. And when he embraced that desire and allowed it to fructify itself in a thought and in a word and an appropriative act, all at once something happened that had never happened before. You came into existence. Hallelujah. Now, you, as long as you can only see your life from the point of view of its experience, and that's a great thing. Now, I don't diminish that. Begin to operate the law of attraction. Learn the secret. Watch Oprah if you can't do it any other way. Right? However you gotta do it, read a book, go to a church, whatever, pray, whatever it takes to come alive and begin to live your life. But still, you're living your life out of the awareness of its own experience. And what I'm wanting to tell you, there is a change you can make, you can break out of that.
There is a possibility of looking at your life not from the point of view of its experience, but from the point of view of eternal existence. There is a possibility of becoming eternally awake and aware, and from the point of view of your eternal existence, begin to look at your life not as something that you are, but as something that you're experiencing. Change your language. Don't say, I'm human. Say, I'm having a human experience. I am more than human. I am eternal. I was always in the existence in my Father's bosom. I existed before I came. I'm creating this life. I am the creator of my life. Now, what's the I that's doing the creating? Right? If I am the creator of my life, then what level are you creating it out of? Where is the level of your awareness of existence? If it's still inside of this, and if you're still trapped in the limited human awareness of human consciousness, you're still going to create the paradigms that come out of three-dimensional consciousness. And you can make them more wonderful. Yep. Even the bill collectors can stay away. You can have a new car. You can have a happy relationship. You can have, you know, you can have a full life with happiness. But it's still not going to allow you to become all that you can be, because the only way you can be all that you can be is to break free from the limitations of human awareness and realize that you came out of God in the beginning, and that the real essence of you has never been human at all. It's really God Himself. Procreate yourself as you, and that you have existence beyond your mortal awareness of self. That's the beginning.
Wow, awesome.
That is the beginning point of your real secret. Real secret isn't the power to change your life. The real secret isn't the power enable you to change your life. That is a wonderful secret. Oh, yeah, and I think somebody should duplicate the secret and pass it all over the world. I'm glad you're doing that. But the greater secret that lies hidden in your bosom is the thought and the awareness that this experience you're now having, that you are the creator of it, because you want to learn and understand some things that you could not understand until you got here. That your physical experience, every time you meet someone, every time you do a job, every time you drive a car, every time you get up in the morning, every time you eat something, every time you think, every time you don't think, every time you sit down on the counter, when you get up to read, whatever it is you do, all of it is opportunities that you are creating to develop awareness. Awareness. To make choices. To make choices. And that you came out of a greater world into this small, confined, limited world because you wanted to have an emotional body in which you could feel things that you couldn't understand before. And one of the things you wanted to experience is the pain of rejection. You wanted to understand what it feels like to be rejected because you had the feelings, but you couldn't understand them. So you came into this life and you got involved in something that you knew you weren't worthy of, and you created a situation where you could feel rejected. And the thing that's serving you is that feeling of being rejected. Now, at the same time, it serves you, it attracts you. It has to be real. If it's not real, it's not going to work. So you could stay trapped for lifetimes in feelings of rejection and never realize that you're the creator of that feeling because you want to understand it. And the way to make a change in your life is to realize first and foremost that you are the creator of everything that happens to you. Now, who is the creator? Is the three-dimensional thought forming you the creator? No, obviously not, because you wouldn't create your nasty experiences. You wouldn't create bad experiences. So it's not your human consciousness that's creating your experience. It's your eternal existence in a light dimension, in a place of light and glory, that's wanting to create this. And the moment you begin to allow and ask the Father to reconnect you to your light body, to what you are beyond this world. That's the moment a whole dimension of change begins to happen in your world. It may happen to you, you might not even have language to say.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
What am I telling you? I'm telling you that something is being said and spoken into human awareness that's never been said before. I'm telling you that there's something coming up in us, an awareness, a rich awareness of life that's never been really understood by the mystics or by religious people or spiritual people through the ages. Some may have touched it. Jesus profoundly knew about it. But even though he spoke about it, his disciples never understood it. And most of the New Testament does not deal with what I'm talking about with you today. Most of the New Testament is a way for you to learn your live your life spiritually. Teaching you good principles, wonderful, powerful principles, like an attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Those are wonderful principles that spiritual people have taught and are available to us to help you change your life. But I want you to go through that, and I want you to go beyond that, and I want you to remember that the being that you are, the existence that you have, is not to take it for granted. Don't take the fact that you exist for granted. How do you do that? When you complain bitterly about your life and say, I wish I wasn't like I am, you create a barrier for yourself to experience yourself.
That's true.
Because you refuse to acknowledge your eternal existence. Because your eternal existence is so great that it creates your whole life for you. And when you complain to it and say, I don't like my life and I don't like what's happening to me. Something's doing me wrong. God, you're doing me wrong. The devil's doing me wrong. Or my uncle or my aunt or my wife or my sister, my brother, you're doing me wrong. The moment you refuse to take responsibility for your life, you also cut yourself off from experiencing your eternal existence.
Wow.
Your eternal good awareness of self.
Good. Amen.
I am. And I thank you, Father, for my beingness. That's what he gave you. God, this is the best way for me to picture it, and you need to sort of embrace this in your thought, think about it, find your own way of thinking about it. But when God took a piece of himself and allowed it to become separate from himself, he's the one that inflicted that pain upon himself. Like, who else was there around? You weren't around. You were just becoming. You are separate from God, right? So when God took you and gave you a beingness separate from him, something that you could begin to experience and feel and say, I am, and you could turn that being and say, God, I don't want you, or you could say, God, I love you, and you have a choice about it. Now that's what makes you unique. The power of choice in you to take an attitude towards life, towards reality, towards God, the privilege and the power in you to be wrong and to be right, to be holy and to be unjust, to be a criminal or to be a saint, all those possibilities is what underscore the reality of your existence. And from that point of view, it doesn't make a great deal of difference whether you're a criminal or a saint. As long as you don't acknowledge the awareness of your existence, the really, even though I greatly encourage you, you have a choice between your saints or a criminal, you got to choose to be a saint.
Absolutely. Yes, amen.
But from an eternal point of view, you are still in prison. Whether you're a saint or whether you're a criminal, you're imprisoned into the unreality of three-dimensional consciousness without making the choice of your own existence. That's what you need.
That's right.
That's what we need to know. That's what I'm declaring to you. All right, so that's why I want to sing this song. An attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude about your existence. If you can't live life, if you can't find your way through it, if you can't find meaningfulness enough in life to orientate yourself, then just let it all go and ask God that you came from. Ask to give him for a definition of your being. Ask him, God, help me to know who I am. Because it's because I don't know who I am that I can't live my life.
That's true.
That's why you can't live your life. It's not because life isn't given to you. There's plenty of money around. There's plenty of wonderful people around. There's plenty of everything everywhere, but you can't get it. What's the matter with you? It's the way you think about yourself.
That's right.
How do you grateful?
Become thankful,
all right?
Become thankful for your existence.
I thank you, Father, for the whole of my journey, for every time I felt naked and alone. As I return to you through portals of shame, and I remember the place from whence I came. Oh, I was with you from the beginning, before the hills and the mountains came forth, when we drew that circle upon the grace of thee, my being began its journey into form. So I thank you, Father, for all of my journey, for every time I felt naked and alone, as I return to you through portals of shame,
and I remember the place from which I came.
You sing that. Another verse here. Now I'm returning to my beginning, to my first love, the place from whence I came. Love so amazing, love so unending, as I remember my being is made whole. I think that the wholeness and the healing that we need in our lives is we need to remember that we came out of love. Somehow, in some way, the Spirit has to take you back, and you have to allow it, take you back to the beginning. And emotionally, He has to let you feel the kind of love that you came from. The kind of love that you came from is absolutely without condition. In order to know that, you have to experience some love that is conditional. You have to experience somebody who says, well, I can only love you so far, but from this point I can't go any further. You have to learn what conditional love is like in order to conceive of the thought of unconditional love. You have to actually create in your mind a thought that love could be unconditional. You have to actually experience sometime, like, and I keep bringing this up, and Megan's just got to forgive me, but like Megan's love for little Luke is not conditional. It doesn't matter whether he poops his pants, doesn't matter whether he cries, doesn't matter make any difference. Luke is just love. Because of what it did in Megan when Luke came along. That's how God's love is for you. Not for your body only, not for your three-dimensional experience, but for your existence. For the you that lies underneath all the layers of you that you think you are, there's another you, and that you needs to remember that God created you for love.
And when you remember, then the peace will come in your heart. Your struggle, the pain of your warfare will be over, and thankfulness can begin to come. Thankfulness, not just for your existence, but thankfulness for everybody in this place. Thankful for all the times that you ain't understood. Thankful for the times that didn't work out. Thankful for, just thankfulness can come because you have trust. Trust. You have trust. When you know that God really, truly, absolutely cannot do anything but love you, that's the beginning of the change.
Yes, it is. Amen. Beautiful.
So, that's why I'm thankful for this little place.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.